Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I want to welcome you to today's edition. I'm going to ask you humbly to stick with me for the next 60 minutes. I've got a lot of information to tie together as I titled this episode, When Good People Stay Silent. The antidote of that, of course, is standing up and not staying silent, standing up and engaging in civil disobedience, and as well as going rogue. And that's what I recommend everyone do at this point. Folks, we've crossed we've crossed a line into a tyrannical state here in the United States. Now, to my Canadian friends, obviously, you've got your own issues very much like that. And I'm sure that there will be many detractors, especially from, Canada, saying, oh, well, you know what, this isn't tyranny. This is just common sense. I beg to differ. And I would suspect that our founding fathers would beg to differ. You know what I'm talking about. The response to this alleged pandemic, plandemic. Look, the virus is real. I understand that. We've gone over and over and over this so many times. But stick with me because I'm tying a lot of loose ends together. This goes back to, actually goes back to 2014. It goes back to the events, the activities of people like Bill Gates. It goes back to the activities of people like Barack Hussein Obama and others. Okay. This has been politicized and weaponized. The response has, that is. And so stick with me. But I would encourage everyone to be like our founding fathers, because the courageous men who signed the Declaration of Independence knew that they were possibly signing their own death warrants. Now, that didn't turn out to be the case, because there is power in numbers, as we know, and we have them, the opposition, by the numbers. There's more of us than there are of them. The King of England at that time and his officials in the colonies considered what they did as an act of terrorism, punishable by death. Now, what happened to these brave men who were willing to risk everything to give us the freedoms we have today? What happened to them? There was a book published in 1848, B.J. Lossing. Published biographical sketches of the signers of the Declaration of American Independence. Now, in this book, he revealed that although most of the Declaration's signatories survived the war and went on to live productive lives, a great number of them lost everything, including their wives and children. Are you willing to risk everything? And some of you are risking everything. Some of you have lost your families. Some of you are, by speaking up, have alienated yourselves from your families. Richard Stockton of New Jersey, for example, was a wealthy landowner who was elected to the Continental Congress back in 1776. Stockton had to flee from his estate with his wife and children to avoid being captured by the British, but he was betrayed by a British loyalist. There are sleepers within our ranks, and by ranks, I'm talking about the new media. The book goes on to talk about the courage of our founding fathers. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to show you some things, but I'm going to talk a little bit about what's taking place right now. And what we're witnessing is this collectivism mentality. And we can go back to the pilgrims. And what we witnessed there, if you know history, they experimented with this communist collectivism, theory and, you know, equal distribution. That's going to come up here in this next hour. In other words, if it would have been practical or applicable back in the Pilgrim's Day, universal health care for all, for example, food for all, money for all, it didn't work out very well. And, The governor, you remember William Bradford, of course, described the Pilgrims' failed experiment with collectivism or communism and how productive the society became once this attempt was abandoned in favor of free enterprise, which is being stifled right now at the hands of tyrannical elected people like the mayor, the lesbian mayor of Chicago, power-hungry tyrant, and others. You've seen them time after time after time. The governors, Newsom. Where did they get this power from? They don't have that power. But going back to the Pilgrims, of course, when you study history, you know that none of this works. It's been tried before. None of this works. So collectivism does not work. I'm going to skip that because I've got a lot of information to get into. But, let me just say this. Let me just go to here. The media. Watch what the media is doing, of course, now into roughly four choke points. You know, you don't have to control every newscaster. You don't have to control every reporter, every editor. All you have to do is control the choke points. What do you think this, with respect to the media, coming down to four corporations that own all of the media or virtually all of the media? What do you think, what's taking place right there? Well, it's controlling those choke points and pushing out the same information to all of the media outlets. The same, well, you've seen the videos, right? I mean, the video screen full of this mosaic of different stations saying the same thing. That's what's taking place with the media. But of course, the media, they know better, right, than you and I. And of course, they will tell you what you're seeing as opposed to what you're actually seeing. But let me pull back on this and let's cut to the Chicago mayor who threatens arrests. And I got to tell you, this is from DC Shorts. They compiled this with respect to the mayor and how her edicts are not taking in Chicago. All right. Here it is right here.
Now, I've directed Superintendent Brown to order all police districts to give special attention to these parties. And this is how it's going to be. We will shut you down. We will cite you. And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail. Period. There should be nothing unambiguous about that. Don't make us treat you like a criminal.
She's
but if you
scary.
Act like a criminal and you violate the law and you refuse to do what is necessary to save lives in this city in the middle of a pandemic, we will take you to jail, period.
Let's move on.
It came to a head in Illinois, where yesterday the state confirmed nearly 3,000 cases in 24 hours, its highest number so far. Hundreds of people attended large parties in Chicago over the weekend, in direct defiance of Mayor Lori Lightfoot's threats to stay at home or risk being arrested. At one of them, five people were shot.
But a photo that surfaced on social media showing the mayor after getting a trim has some asking, what about me? The mayor was asked at least twice about the haircut this afternoon.
I'm out in the public eye, and, you know, I'm a person who I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said, I felt like I needed to have a haircut. I'm not able to do that myself, and so I got a haircut.
I think it's way too soon for us to even be thinking.
Pause. Okay, so Eric the Tech, job well done with the hair or what? you know what, Lori Lightfoot or Jack-booted Foot?
Why not just buzz it off?
I'm going to tell you, a Flowbee and Eric the Tech, he'll be available for you. I'll give him my Flowbee. And we'll send them over for you. But no, you're the face of the people, right? It's not for me. It's for thee. In other words, I don't have to do what I say. I'm above you.
I'm privileged.
And every damn person in Chicago should be on the streets. And I'll tell you what, the lampposts in America should be decorated by the leaders, in my view, by the leaders who are acting like tyrants and who are taking away our rights. It's time to go rogue and get the hell off of this stuck on inactivity. I'm pissed off today, and rightfully so, as well every American, patriotic American should be, because if our founding fathers would risk everything for the liberties that we are enjoying today, that we see taken away from us by lesbianic, power-hungry tyrants like this, shame on us. Let's finish up this sick, twisted tyrant. Go ahead.
Loosening up the restrictions that we've been living under since mid-March. And the reason for it is because our ICU beds are continuing to rise. Hospitals are inching up towards capacity. And we're still seeing the number of deaths go up every day. We're going to soon pass 1,000 deaths in Chicago alone.
The primary protest, what they believe is that the rights are being trampled on in the name of disease prevention. They believe that the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker, and Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, are overstepping the boundaries of their authority, and they're very concerned about their livelihoods.
The governor's overstepping his bounds. His 30 days are up. He needs to go home, take a silver spoon, and feed some of the people with it.
Mayor Lightfoot announced a citywide virtual graduation ceremony. And she teased the announcement in this lighthearted video on TikTok. And she later told high school seniors that their graduation ceremony will be held in June and will be keynoted by none other than Oprah Winfrey. Look at her get it in.
Voters made history by electing the city's first black female mayor. Lori Lightfoot won a landslide victory last night over Tony Preckwinkle, taking about 74% of the vote. Lightfoot carried all 50 Chicago election districts in the runoff.
Right? Let's get it on. Do some twerking there, right?
It does resemble your dancing skills.
And my do, yeah. I don't dance.
You guys have a lot in common.
Ooh. All right. Well, there it is. Okay. Now, undoubtedly, you've probably seen that video or portions of that video or some of it on social media, whatever. But that's what we are faced with. That's what we're faced with right now. And I'll tell you something. I'm not going to have, I'm not going to have people when my father, my grandfather, and my family fought in combat. The founding fathers of this country risked everything and lost everything in some cases. I'm not going to squander that, nor should you. This is a reaction from Dan Bongino yesterday. Now, he played a part of that clip, at least the part of the news conference, not the entire Daily Caller montage, but just that part from the news conference. And prior to that, he expressed his disdain. This over what's going on in Apex, North Carolina, as well as other locations. Watch this.
Mr. Joe Special Bell. Let me get to this first because this is just disgusting, disturbing, and I'm having a difficult time digesting how overnight the Bill of Rights seems to be forfeited in the Constitution. Lawmakers who swore, by the way, to uphold the Constitution appear to believe that the Constitution was a suggestion. It isn't. The Constitution is not a suggestion. The Constitution is not optional. And I'm unsure where lawmakers read in the Bill of Rights, specifically the First Amendment, which specifically prohibits the establishment of any kind of state religion, prohibits any laws. Congress shall establish no laws interfering with peaceful assembly, the freedom of speech, and the freedom of the press. I'm unsure where these state lawmakers miss that. What do you think? Because you're in the States, you're not subjected to the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Is that what's going on? Quick example, as you can see playing in the background, this video here, I'll describe it to our audio listeners. There was a tattoo parlor owner, North Carolina, goes by the name of Jax, who was arrested for merely the act of opening the door to his business. This is just gross in Apex, North Carolina. We're going to try to get Jax on the phone. We'll include the interview in tomorrow's show. I mean, what's going on? What is this, Cuba? Is this Soviet Union? Did I miss something? Congress shall establish no law interfering with people, American citizens' right to peaceful assembly, the freedom of the press, to practice their religion. Did you miss all this? What is the governing bodies in Apex, North Carolina, and police supervisors in charge? What are you doing? Again, I've had the back of our police officers before many of you have even been alive on the left. I was one. But what are you doing? Where are the police unions here? I have a story today in the New York Post at the show notes. De Blasio, the communist mayor of New York City, is releasing criminals back onto the street. I'll have you know, by the way, that roughly 50% of the crime, do you know this? The majority of the crime, 50% or more, is committed by between 5 and 10% of the population. So a small number of people are committing most of the crimes, yet we're releasing those people back onto the streets, communist mayor of New York, de Blasio, while we're arresting innocent American citizens for practicing what? Their right to show up at their own business? We're losing it, folks. We're losing it.
Now, I want to say something. Thank you, Dan Bongino. Thank you for allowing us to use that clip. I want to say something right now. Freedom from the arbitrary will of another is key to understanding true liberty as the Founding Fathers envisioned it. Let me say that again. Freedom from the arbitrary will of another is key to understanding true liberty as the Founding Fathers envisioned it. The Constitution called for at least, the Constitution called for the least coercion of the individual possible to maintain the rules, such as government weight and measurement standards for trade, for example, for society to function. Of course, that was before everything being revised by the federal courts. In a moment, I'm going to show you what Donald Trump is doing to the federal courts. In a moment. But keep that in mind. And there's a bigger picture here. Because there's war drums being beaten. There's food shortages on the horizon. This is coming. The bigger picture. But speaking of the bigger picture as well, the founders created a document that was not arbitrary, but was uniform in its governance, in its application. Now, the exception, of course, would be slavery, other than those victimized by the sin of slavery in the South. The same rules governed everyone, and the citizens could freely operate in their own, they could operate their own lives within their sphere and of freedom. Some farmers may grow one crop rather than another. A farmer may have his property taken for growing too much of a crop. Businessmen may find a competitor more favored by government paying less than less tax or no tax at all, for example, or even receiving money from the Treasury to help compete against him. Those are some arbitrary rules that we've seen in the past and we're seeing today, but even more implemented by way of this response to this virus. But these types of arbitrary rules, the edicts of the Lightfoots of this country and the Newsoms and others, coerce individuals and destroy free society. That's what they do. And because central planners, because communists, because globalists, because they desire a certain cultural outcome. Different members of society must be coerced to varying degrees to obtain this desired equal outcome. In other words, go back to that Lightfoot. Hey, I can have my hair done, right? But you can't. Why? Because I'm the face of Chicago. Better put a mask on that face. Just saying. There is still a degree of liberty here in the United States. And accordingly, we must resist the taking of our individual liberties right here and right now. It doesn't matter of the either the promised reward for some or the guaranteed punishment of others. The founders created a republic in the Constitution rather than a democracy. This isn't a democracy. This is a representative or constitutional republic as created by our founding fathers. Democracy would be mob rule, and they didn't want that. You know, every American needs to read the original writings of those who produced the documents of America's founding. Not the interpretation of those documents, but the original documents with the intent of our founders. But there is a unity between political and economic liberty that cannot exist without the other. Did you hear what I said there? There is this link, this unity between political and economic liberty that cannot exist without the other. This was said by Milton Friedman some time ago. We need to go rogue. We need to say enough is enough. We need to stand up. And that's being done across the country. Good things happen when we stand up. The powers back down. And I'm going to show you a couple of examples of this here momentarily. When we rise up together, these tyrannical dictators pee themselves. They wet themselves. And they stand down. But in the meantime, they're unleashing all sorts of things upon us. In case you've missed some of the things that they're unleashing, oh, it's obvious, face masks and such and rules in the store. I want you to think about something as we go on here, as I finish through the hour. In many locations in the United States, if you want to buy groceries, you can buy groceries. But I'll tell you one thing. You're not let inside the store without a mask. You can't wear a mask. Or you can't come in the store if you're not wearing a mask. So what if you refuse to wear a mask? You go hungry, don't you? Or you find someone else to go in the store with a mask. But what's that? Americans have a right to eat. Right? They do. I mean, if they've got money to purchase food, they've got a right to make that purchase. And I suppose the stores have that right to say, no, you can't come in. But Americans have long memories. Or they should. The patriotic Americans have long memories. Just saying. But look what's happening here with these. There's some creepy drones out there, and I'm sure many of you have seen this. If not, pay attention to this. There are fever-detecting drones and other intrusive things taking place under this response to COVID-19. And you know about this. The New American writes about this. Nothing new. You've seen this before. But these drones can read your body temperature. They've got thermal cameras. There's a video in this, if you go to New American, there's a video there embedded in the New American. Take a look at that video. Can we play a little bit of that, or is that Hey, we don't. I mean, we don't have to.
I don't think there is a video in there.
Actually, it's down about 3/4 of the way, but it's all right. It's all right. All right. People, however, are sitting up and taking notice. Now, I don't know who this actor is, Kevin Sorbo and his wife. I don't know. I don't know these people. I don't care who these people are. But he appeared on a talk show. And he's saying, look, something's not right. And his wife even called for a measure of civil disobedience. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if we don't engage in civil disobedience right now, there will be bloodshed later. Please understand what I'm saying. If we don't engage together collectively in civil disobedience right now, I guarantee you the streets will be marred by blood here in America. Let's play the Kevin Sorbo clip from BizPac Review, who isolated this. Can we do that? All right, let's try this.
Love it. Now actor Kevin Sorbo is fighting government overreach during the pandemic, tweeting in part, "Wake up, people. If you think this is all about your health, you're mistaken. Please open your eyes. Stop being led like blind sheep." Kevin joins us now with his wife, actress, and radio host, Sam Sorbo. Thank you both for joining the program this morning. Always love having you. Kevin, if you would, share the essence of that tweet. What are you talking about?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I did not write that tweet, okay? It was given to me from a friend. I loved it because I've said all those things before, and so I just reposted it. It's all I did. But the reality is, to start, I'm not saying that this virus isn't dangerous. Of course it's dangerous. We're seeing the numbers. We've seen people sick. But, look at the common flu, the so-called common flu. 60 to 80,000 people a year die every year from the flu. Are we doing anything about that? Are we social distancing with that, even though we have flu shots? So to me, it's like there's more going on here, guys, and it's about control and power over our lives, and that's what government wants to do.
So what do the two of you propose? What do you think should be happening then right now for the millions of Americans who are sitting at home, they're out of jobs, and they want to get back to work and at least even get outside?
Well, I think that there's maybe a little bit of a call for some civil disobedience. I've seen small businesses opening, defying the state orders and saying, look, we will practice as much social distancing as we can. We will implement safety procedures and policies. But we need business because guess what's essential, folks? Food is essential and feeding your family is essential. And the fact is we established this nation for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or prosperity is actually having a job. And so for the government to come in and say, no, your job is not essential. Well, let's send a message to Washington. Maybe your job is not essential. Maybe you shouldn't be getting paid because there are people who are suffering today who are not even getting their minimum wage pay because the government has determined that their job is not essential. And I think that's an outrage, frankly.
It's amazing. You can have a Walmart open, you can have Targets open, but you can't have small businesses open.
Yeah.
You close down golf courses for a kind of golf courses. I mean, Jason, come on. You and I play in that Thompson tournament every year. It's insane.
Golf is how he social distances from people.
People go to the grocery store and walk around 5 feet from people.
Right. Yeah. And understood. Just to point out, though, all the medical doctors and experts do say this is different and a lot more contagious than the flu and that we do need to take certain medical and safety precautions. So we just want to clarify that.
Right. Yes. To clarify, but there are also medical professionals who are saying, guys, we should not be social distancing. There are medical people who have done studies. In fact, Erickson, who has now been censored off of YouTube for somehow violating their standards of operation, whatever. And he's now saying that he's being targeted because his message is we need herd immunity. We need people to get out and to practice.
So, okay, you stop it right there. The essence of this. And the reason this is important, okay, a couple of things, obviously. Thank goodness people from Hollywood, again, I don't know that actor. I don't follow those action films or whatever. But him and his wife, thank goodness, they're saying, hey, wait a minute. You can't do this. I mean, there is some semblance of normalcy there, normal thinking, critical thinking for crying out loud. It's good. So I'm glad they came out, but, and also endorsing civil obedience. You know what? At this point, I would endorse civil disobedience because absent of that, you know what comes next. And that's full-blown communist tyranny. So civil disobedience, I believe, will lead to saving more lives. End of story. That's my belief. That's my position. And if we don't do that, not only will the future of our country be at risk, is at stake, but the lives of our children. Because I certainly don't want to see the blood or the streets of America stained by anyone's blood. And you'd have to be absolutely nuts if you did. But I do know that there are people out there just itching for that fight. Just saying. And by the way, you want a fight? You going to bring a fight to us? Not a problem. I mean, it's... So what's this all about? What's the bigger picture here? I go back to that very interesting segment with Stan Deo a couple of weeks ago. Oh, that I was going to pull that segment, but, isolate it and show you. Remember the 3D printers of food? Oh, my goodness. Food without beef, without cows. You can print it right out. Food is the weapon of the communists. Just go back in history. Look what they have done. How many people have starved under communist totalitarian regimes? So, the Lightfoots of this country, the Newsoms of this country, the Cuomos of this country, and even the police who are saying, well, look, I'm just following orders. Dan Bongino. Ain't gonna fly. Not gonna fly. So what's this all about? What has this been all about? William J. Murray was on our program. He wrote Fighting the Utopian Lie. Oh, man. I'll tell you what a great book that is. I'm not even sure if I can find it here. Let me look. Yeah, it's toward the end. It's on page 264. The Battle for the Future. And this is written way before, obviously, current events. But the Battle for the Future is the same one that Christians have been fighting against utopian socialists, communist progressives, and those who call themselves liberals today. They've been fighting it since the ascension of Jesus Christ. It is a battle between personal and spiritual liberty and slavery. Oh, you got that. It is a battle between personal and spiritual liberty and slavery. It is, in reality, a battle between Satan, who wants to rule every aspect of life in his own utopia on earth, and the forces of God, who bring the promise of eternal freedom into this fallen world. The Bible says that the thief, that's Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This according to John chapter 10, verse 10. It is always his goal to enslave humans, to bring them into bondage and into slavery, into misery. He, like human servants, his human servants, that is, exhibit A, B, C, whatever, they enjoy creating a cultural and political institutions in general that bring about suffering and bondage. A centralized government does exactly that. It's easy to envision the Antichrist government, as described in the book of Revelation, being a centrally planned collectivist regime that would torment everyone, every soul, to force strict obedience. And I would add dependence. Remember the food. One could imagine this is living in a worldwide high-tech version of North Korea. Go back to the drones. I can be social distancing. Cell phones. I don't keep mine around, so I don't know. Telling you if you're 6 feet apart or not. think about this. Think about where we're going. Rather than understanding human beings as created in the image of God, they view man as just another mammal. How true that is. Go back to the Twilight Zone, the obsolete man. I've quoted that for years. You know, the names may change in this ongoing battle to enslave mankind, but the collectivist philosophy, I would add the globalist or tyrannical philosophy that you see exhibited by Lightfoots and Newsoms and Cuomos. This collectivist philosophy that drives them is always the same, no matter who it was, Stalin, Mao, Hitler, Mussolini, Robespierre. The philosophy that motivates each one of these people is collectivism. It's totalitarianism. They, as a group, reject the individual right to free choice and view the state as small g God rather than almighty big G God. And let's be realistic. Right here in the United States of America, the battle will never end between these utopian bastards and those who value our Constitution and the Republican government that our founders created and crafted and instituted. The reason the battle continues today, it's easily defined. These people, these collectivists, these communists, these globalists, they want to create a utopia on earth that rivals the kingdom of God. Remember, belief is the driver of action. And these people believe that they're bigger and better than God. And I've been mocked by so-called self-described Christians for saying that. You can read about it. I don't care. Mock me. I've been sued for saying things like that. Now it's personal. Now throwing down. I've piddled around for the last 4.5 years. Stopping now. But what can be done to protect our personal freedom? Freedom and democracy are not synonymous, and there's no such thing as a democratic form of government. This by William J. Murray. In his book, The Utopian Road to Hell. Democracy is a process by which leaders are elected. It has nothing to do with the form of governance, with any form of governance. Corporations elect boards of directors through a democratic process. The process makes them neither free nor democratic. So let's dispel that right now. It was Friedrich Hayek who coined the phrase, totalitarian state, totalitarian democracy, to describe governments as having a democratic process but little or no freedom. What are we seeing today? But you can see this take place in Canada. All right, examples of this readily evident in Canada. Or if you really want to be enlightened, go over to Germany or France. Hell, even Iran or the UK. And you can see this totalitarian democracy in action, where if individuals are publicly critical, for example, of Islam, or heaven forbid, they're critical of the response, the global pandemic response, they get censored. They get arrested. They get fined. Or even imprisoned. Canadian television is so censored by the government that Christian programming made in the United States often cannot be shown there. How you doing? 1,500 guns banned by Justin Pink Pants Trudeau. Unbelievable. Yet Canada, as well as France and the United Kingdom and elsewhere, they elect officials at the provincial city and national levels. By pure definition of the process, though, Iran is indeed a democratic nation with little or no real freedom. In the democratic nation of Germany, Christian home schooling families have had to choose between sending their children to government schools or permanently. Or you send them to government schools, especially if you're critical of Islam, or you can lose your children. The laws in many Western nations, and these laws that we're seeing develop because of the response to this virus, these little tin pot dictators of places like Chicago and New York City and other locations, the people who reside there and who elected these mopes, they don't understand how arbitrary and unconstitutional, most don't, these laws are. An example from years ago. In the U.S., a farmer can go to prison for killing an eagle on his property to plow new land. But if he builds a large green commercial windmill, that same farmer, killing that same eagle, or that same farmer, will receive a permit from the government to kill dozens of eagles. Without any penalty, I might add. In the United States today, we have situations where a guy, a man, you know, somebody who has a dangling participle between his legs can use a woman's bathroom. If he feels like a woman, that is. But a teenage boy can get arrested for looking up a girl's skirt, which he shouldn't do anyway, but you can see how arbitrary the laws, the application of laws are. So what's this all about? Where are we going with this? In the next couple of weeks, watch the food supply and do me a favor. Please, please. If you go to the store, go with the adage, one is none, two is one. That's all. If you're buying a can of peas for your chicken pot pie you're going to make tonight, buy two. Same with vegetable, any cans. It's not too late. It is not too late. And don't let anyone tell you it is. We are not going to accept defeat here. Not after our founding fathers have done what they've done. And all of the generations before us have made the sacrifices that they've made. I'll tell you what happens when we all stand together. You get scenes like this. Where's this from? DC Shorts again. Number 5, Eric the Tech. I want you to check this out. When people get together and they say, you know what? We're not going to take this anymore. This is what happens. Go ahead. Number 5.
That in the coming weeks, the Air Force Thunderbirds are incredible.
Right, amen and amen and amen. You see what happens when Americans come together and say, you know what?
Can you tell the radio people what happened?
Oh, yeah. I guess I should for that. Yeah. Thanks, Eric the Tech. Yeah, well, what you saw on the screen, for those listening by way of satellite radio, and I apologize, I don't know. for those listening by radio, what you saw was a boat rally near Mar-a-Lago. Defying the order. There's a big backstory behind that. I'm just not going to get into it. But essentially, hey, we're freedom loving Americans. You can't keep us down. So what you saw was a bunch of boats on the canal that had American flags and flags for President Trump and what have you. That's what you saw. And you can see the same type of thing in the beaches of California and the beaches elsewhere, but especially in California. And they give the middle finger to Gavin Newsom saying, you know what? You just go away. These laws, they're not even laws. They're arbitrary edicts, and you just can't, period. Because I've got a constitution. This is the law of the land, not your arbitrary crap. So what's this all about again? Oh, it's bigger than you might think. Food, war. But hey, what about the economy? Remember 92, 93? Hillary Care? Remember Hillary Care? Listen to Hillary the yak in this Breitbart piece talk about universal health care. And don't tell me this isn't about, this response to this COVID-19, the Chinese Communist Party virus. Don't tell me that it's all about protecting you from getting infected. It's bigger than that. Let's go to the yak.
Every form of health care should continue to be available, including reproductive health care for every woman in this country. And then it needs to be part of a much larger system that eventually and quickly, I hope, gets us to universal health care. So I can only say amen to everything you're saying, but also to, again, enlist people that this would be a terrible crisis to waste, as the old saying goes.
Yeah.
We've learned a lot about what our absolute frailties are in our country when it comes to health justice and economic justice. So, you know, let's be resolved that we're going to solve those once you're elected president.
Look at creepy, sleepy Joe Biden over there going, yeah, uh-huh. Somebody's got their arm so far up. Never mind. You get the idea. And by the way, did you see his pocket square? That's not a pocket square. Those are three pieces of linen attached to a cardboard thing of cardboard. All right. He doesn't even know. Well, folks, you heard that. So you get Biden or one of his assigns in there. God help the United States, because we won't have a United States if you get Biden or Michael Obama or or whoever in there. And God forbid it be Hillary Clinton, but she's got her hand in this. She's got her hand in this because, you know, she's not done yet. She is one pissed off lady. Pardon me for if any Christians are upset by that. Go ahead to the grandma's right in, right on your blogs, how I said that. Again, 4.5 years. I'm done taking this crap. My wife's over here going, did you just really say that on air? You want to come on camera? My wife's here. She said, no. Again, that's not nice. You shouldn't say that to me or do that to me. Nah, she's a good sport. Love her to death. You know, we've been married 30 years. I mean, it's wow. I don't know how she puts up with me. I'm telling you. All right. Really quick, because I'm getting short on time. We've been lied to. We've been lied to every flip and step of the way. We've been lied to every day. We've been lied to about this. And I'm tired of people. Look, I'm so tired of people who are parroting the mainstream media's talking points all of the time. I'm so tired of people, what is that? Snitches get rewards. Where, you know, if you don't wear a mask, you can't come in. You know where you could put your masks? Okay. Look, if think about this. If they can, here, let me talk to you for a minute. Sweetheart, so you go to the grocery store and you're not wearing a mask, what happens? You can't go in, she said. Do you think maybe? What if you say, well, I'm not going to wear a mask? They'll ask you to leave. But what if you're out of food and you're the only one and you're not going to budge on your principal? What happens then? What happens if you, maybe they're kind of, they give you a mask. What happens if you don't want to wear that mask? You go hungry. That's not what she said, but that's, you go hungry, Eric the Tech. You going to wear a mask? One lady, Eric the Tech and folks, did you see this? This one, they were making fun of her on Twitter. She had, I don't know where this was. I just happened to see it and I didn't save it, but she took a mask and she cut a hole for her nose and mouth, but she was wearing a mask, but she had a hole over her nose and mouth. Did you see that? And people were making fun of her. Oh, you can't fix stupid. How stupid is that? Did she think she's protecting herself? Look, I don't know what her intent was. I didn't hear from her. It was just one of those things that was caught on a security camera from the store. She walks in. She asked a question like, you know, how much, or didn't ask a question. She said, oh, I have like 10 bucks on number, pump one or whatever it was. And the guy was like, oh, where'd you get that mask? Or said something, you know, I don't know. But see, people made fun of her. Look, again, I don't know what her intent was. But I'm going to try that. I'll wear a mask. I'm going to cut out the nose and mouth. I'm wearing a mask. But if they'll stop you without a mask, what happens if you don't have that luminous tattoo ID from ID 2020? Huh? What happens if you refuse to be vaccinated? What happens if you don't have the bracelet or the marking that you're not contagious? Do you think for 1 minute they'll say, come on in, you go shopping, come on in, it's all right. Come on in. No. They will starve you. That's what the communists did. Study the 20th century history. For crying out loud, weaponized food. There it is. Healthcare. Let's take over the healthcare. Better yet, let's reserve a whole floor of the hospital, or let's reserve an entire hospital for COVID-19 patients, but never see one patient and start laying off healthcare workers. That's the ticket. People say, well, that's just the epitome of stupid. No. I'm telling you, that's not. You know what that is? That's collectivist planning. That is to create fatalities in the healthcare industry, to bring our healthcare industry, the best in the world, I might say, in the United States, not Canada, but the United States, the best in the world, is to destroy it and to take over our economy. Think bigger. This has been in the planning for not a year, not since October 18th of 2019 when they did Event 201. This has been in the planning for a decade or more. The concept for a century. But this particular time in history, for a decade. So at least since 2014. When we think bigger, we see that we are actually now indeed at war with China. You see, Project Veritas came out very quick too. Talking about being lied to. Let's see if we can slip in Project Veritas video 6. They do great work. James O'Keefe, Laura Loomer from who used to be part of that as well. Good friend of the program. Thank you for all of you what you've done. Project Veritas. Let's play clip 6.
All you're doing is you're padding statistics. You know, you're putting people on that have COVID-19. If they didn't have it, you're making the death rate for New York City a lot higher than it should be.
To be honest with you, all of the death certificates, they're writing COVID on all of the death certificates, whether they had a positive test, whether they didn't. So I think, you know, again, this is my personal opinion. I think, like, the mayor here in our city, they're looking for federal funding, and the more they put COVID on a death certificate, the more they can ask for federal funds. So I think it's political.
I had one that was autopsy because he was furious. And I don't know who the Supreme Court Justice is, but the Supreme Court Justice was related to the family. And he says, I know my sister didn't die of COVID-19. She said she had Alzheimer's and they didn't suction her.
Okay, okay, you can stop it right there. Please, please, because we're short on time, I'm short on time, please watch the entire video. What they are doing to our aged, the elderly in the infirmed in the nursing homes, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Did you hear what that woman said? My father-in-law has got advanced dementia, Alzheimer's. I'll tell you what, he's not in a nursing home, but if he ever had to go there, I'd be so far up your colon. Let me tell you what. I have been in the past, worked a case, I don't know, 20 years ago, where I watched client after client after client after client die. In fact, I was on the phone. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. His name was Jim. He called me. He says, I'm not going to last. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. And they did. That's a story for another day, but it's going to be a story. Again, looking at the bigger picture, the response going rogue. I want to thank Kevin and Matt. Kevin, thank you. Matt, thank you. Members, supporters of this group, of this, of the platform, I want to thank you. Let's put the images. This is Matt speaking at the State House this past weekend, saying we're not going to take this anymore. That's what we got to do. That is what we have to do. We have to show up en masse and say we are not going to adhere to these arbitrary laws. Remember from the book, Utopian Road to Hell by William J. Murray. God bless that man. Got to have him back on. We're not going to take this anymore. Remember the commitment of our forefathers. That's how it started. Oh, and by the way, where did I put that? Hang on a second here. Okay. All right. Reach. There's hey, look at that. There's a Hagman's t-shirt there. There's Matt there. Kevin Hansen was part of this as well, saying we're not going to take this crap anymore. Now, I can't cite from this paper, but the Wall Street Journal had an article that just appeared yesterday that referenced a paper. I can't cite from it, but referenced a paper written by bank economist Kristen Blickle. The paper's titled New York Fed Paper Finds Pandemic, or the article is titled New York Fed Paper Finds Pandemic a Century Ago Fueled Nazi Rise. Let me say that again. New York Fed Paper Finds Pandemic a Century Ago Fueled Nazi Rise. What are we seeing today? What was not the Nazis? People think they were right-wingers. No! They're left! They're the collectivists. They're the socialist tyrants. They're not right-wingers. They're not Trumpers. They're not forever Trumpers. No. The Nazis are collectivists. There's a paper, again, written by Kristen Blickle, examined how the German political system reacted to the influenza pandemic that struck the world between 1918 and 1920. Written there a century ago, influenza deaths themselves had a strong effect on the share of votes won by extremists, specifically the extremist National Socialist Party, the paper said, in reference to the Nazi Party, led by Hitler, who became Chancellor of Germany in 1933. You know what? It's, hold on a second. Stop. I just want to say this. What I'd really like you guys to do, the listeners and viewers, I apologize to you guys, Yuns, right? As I say in Pittsburgh, what I'd really like you folks to do is go to band.video and take a look at, We Are at War with China. I'm going to put the link in the program description box only at HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you have to go for the links and such at HagmanReportLive.com. I'm going to put that in there, band video, We're Worth China. And also one from Senator Cotton, who blasts China as a pariah state. Let me tell you something. We're going to be going to war against China. Let me say that one more time. We are already at war with China, but I am telling you right now, watch the South China Sea. Watch the prepositioning and repositioning of naval and military assets, both on both sides. Just watch this. Band.video, we are at war with China. Please watch that, as well as the Fox News clip from Senator Cotton blasting China as pariah state, saying, Fox News saying, wow, those are pretty harsh words. You're upping the rhetoric. Yeah, you're damn right we are. Oh, and to those people who will say, oh, well, you can't, nothing proves that this was created in the Wuhan lab. Listen to me. Listen to me. We never said it was created there. It's where it came out of. We said it was a created virus. Senator Cotton, he's got the info. It came out of Wuhan BSL-4. It may not have been created there. Never said that. That's where it came out of. Was it created, man-made? Yeah. Yes, I got it. Well, if we have to go back to that point, you're listening to the wrong program. So we are at war with China, or China is at war with us. The next steps we take are going to be so critical. If we make it to the election of 2020, which I suspect we will, the election's going to be so critical. The election, the local elections, the county elections, the state elections, so critical. Get out to vote, and let's avoid, through our civil disobedience, saying hell no, no and hell no, 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 and hell no, no, no. We can avoid the bloodshed and blood on American streets. All right, let's take a break. Coming up, Stan Dale. What's that? All right, sorry for blowing through the break. Network, sorry about that. All right, Stan Dale from... Stan, I apologize for encroaching on your time. Stan Dale from StanDale.com. God bless you, my friend. How are you?
I'm very good. Yourself? You look cantankerous as ever.
I am. I'm PO'd, man. I'll tell you what. I'm ready to rumble. You look good, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just, you know what, Stan? I'm so damn upset. You know what? I'm not going to take it. Go ahead. Let's just talk, whatever. I'm just upset.
Well, I listened to your last, part of the section here just before just after the break, I guess it was. And, you know, earlier today there was an announcement that I think we can just follow up with, which is right in line with what you said about war with China. On my show images page, the first slide on there today is slide 59. And if you look at it, it says Gog and Magog will start with a war between America and China, warns Rabbi. Now, it says in a recent interview, Rabbi Daniel Assor warned that the United States and China will go to war against each other. He explains this war was predicted by the secret tzaddik Rabbi Yehuda Leftovich 20 years ago. So in other words, 20 years ago, the righteous Rabbi, Yehuda Leftovich predicted that the Gog and Magog battle spoken of will occur between the United States and China. Now, if I can just bore you a bit here, you've got the article up on the screen. I see that. Now, there are two wars. There's the Gog-Magog War, and then there's the Armageddon War. Now, the Gog-Magog War will be a limited action between Israel and Russia and some other forces allied with Russia. And it will be before or at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. Now, I went over to a site called raptureforums.com, where it gives the major differences or contrast between Gog Magog of Ezekiel 38-39 and the Armageddon War. And it's with the news that we're getting, you know, about China and the fact that we are at war with China, even in a trade war, but I think we're going to escalate into a shooting war. These things here are important to recognize. Russia leads the coalition of Gog Magog, while the Antichrist leads the battle of Armageddon, which has all the nations of the world gathered against Israel. They're two different things. One's after the tribulation period at the end of it, and the other is at the beginning. Now, we're there. I mean, you know, by most things that I can put together for accuracy on the age of a generation from the time Israel became a nation again in 1948 till now, says that this year or next year, we're going to see the beginning of the tribulation period, which will mean that we'll see the Gog-Magog War. And China is certainly really irritated with us, and we're irritated with them, understandably. You know, if you go to this raptureforums.com, End Times, and look at that article, I don't think I have a link to that on there. Let me just see. No, I don't. But it tells you, like, the major differences, and there are a lot of them, between Gog-Magog War and the Armageddon conflict. And this rabbi, you know, this 20 years ago, predicted that it will be between China and the United States. It starts the Gog-Magog War, which will involve Israel as well. If you look down at slide 55, and just click on the slide picture for a moment, you'll see here that they're announcing, they're showing off their missiles and other things on this Chinese article, but they are also showing troops getting onto Chinese aircraft, you know, like troop carriers.
Yep.
Now, so what does a 200 million man army look like, I ask? This seems to me to be that they're practicing getting troops on the ground, and that's going to be for the for the Armageddon crisis, where they have 200 million men. But we're before that now then at the Gog-Magog stage, and certainly this may not be 200 million man army that's going to hit us at the moment, but they're going to hit the United States. So you back onto that slide and hit on the article, slide 55 article, and they give you, you know, on the site a number of images in the video, which shows what they're doing with their various aircraft and missiles, and they're showing off everything. In addition, they've got what's called the Xeon H-20, which looks a lot like our, you know, B-2 stealth bomber, as far as the reports go at the moment. Yeah, you've got the picture of it there. There haven't been any publicly released pictures of their new B-2 stealth bomber, which they're calling, you know, a WS-10A. Anyway, there's a picture of it. So they're, you know, they're bragging about what they've got, you know, missiles and aircraft. And what they're telling us publicly is, gosh, a long way behind where they are in reality. They're not going to tell you, look, we're going to attack the United States with our neat bomber today. This stuff is probably 10 years old if it's that young even. They've been way ahead of us. And this release of this virus into the United States and all the other nations of the world has certainly impacted the United States horribly. And no one can deny this. We are faced with a war with China. Yeah, I see you've got your thing up there on the screen about EMP shields. It certainly, this is a time to get your EMP shields for your home, business, car, whatever, and getting spare gasoline or petrol for your vehicles, because things are going to go bad, going to go south really bad when this war starts. And they're going to strike us.
Yeah, if I can interject something here, I'd like to pat myself on the back only because I saw your slide 55 before the show, and I wanted to kind of did a nice segue, or hopefully did a nice segue into that, because, yeah, you're right. I mean, war is coming. We are at war. In this asymmetrical sense, we're already at war, but war, physical war, is coming. And I just love how you bracketed that, by the way, with the Gog-Magog, with panel 59 there. I appreciate that as well. So your interpretation or your assessment of this is right on the money. I referenced before you came on Senator Tom Cotton blasting China as a pariah state in some of the rhetoric that has been ratcheted up there, as well as, the rhetoric right now We are at a point in time that's rivals Tiananmen Square from 89 and maybe even worse. So thank you for the, for all of that. And by the way, EMP Shield, we're going to have some folks, we're going to have some work done in the studio beginning of next week. Stan, I just want to alert you to that fact as well. Some the electronics done. We are going to be installing in this location now, different from the other, an EMP shield as well. So I would urge everyone take this opportunity right now. Go to my, go to EMPshield.com and use the promo code Hagman for your savings there. It's listed by the Department of Homeland Security in their February 5th, 2019 EMP Resilience Report. Thank you. I had to get that in there, Stan. Apologize for doing so, but wanted to do that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's for people's benefit. We, you don't want to be caught in the toilet paper rush for EMP shields. It takes a week to get it, and we've got quite a few of them. I think they've started the assembly line again up on the shelf so that we can fill the orders real quickly. But you better do it. You look at what happened with just the virus and the problem that caused here in businesses and products that you could get that you needed. So do it now. I know that, okay, we're selling the product, but by golly, you need it. As I've said before, we're doing all we can behind the scenes with the government to protect other key infrastructure from the EMP attack. And coupled with that, though, the sun is acting up. We can talk about that a bit later. I've got it down in one of the slides here, I think 49 or something like that. The magnetic field of the sun is weird. When it produces CMEs, it can hit, you know, really hard and cause us like the Carrington event in the 1800s, where it generated lightning flashes that burned the operator's hands on the telegraph keys from the telegraph lines alone. And we've got so much more copper hanging in the air and buried underground all over the country now that an EMP from the sun, which will be a longer lasting thing than one from a bomb, will be something you need to protect against hugely, or bigly, to quote the president. But anyway, yeah, it's extremely important to get yourself prepared. And supplies that you need, like medicines, food, water, power, auxiliary power, solar or wind or something like that, or in some cases diesel and gasoline, which will last you 2 or 3 months. It's about all the fuel you can store. So get ready, because this is a small taste. This virus thing here and the stay in place or, you know, distance rules and all that kind of stuff. This is a small taste of what's coming. We're going to see martial law, I'm sure, to try to keep movements between states down when we go to war. And if we have that much time, I hope they're not going to censor this interview between you and I today, you know, on YouTube or whatever. But the truth has got to be said. And you've certainly said a lot earlier in this show about the virus. And we're now going beyond that, what this implies, what we're going to have to do. We're going to see forced rationing of meats and dairy products and things like that. It's going to get worse.
Remember, Stan, I've been getting emails, and I talked about this the first hour. Remember when you and I were on, and a couple of weeks ago, when you were on, and you had had that picture of the 3D printer printing out fake meat. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, when you get into Impossible Foods, in quotation marks, the name of the company, and other like companies, they are saying, "Look, beef shortages." Poultry shortages, that's self-inflicted, by the way. But we've got something for you here. Hey, why don't you just have your meat, instead of, you know, cows, of course, or chickens or pigs, whatever, sheep, here, print it up or get the non-meat meat. Man, you were ahead of your time with that. I just want to say, and now it's not appealing to me. But boy, we can see that in the bigger picture now. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's Star Trek come to life here, you know, with the replicator type stuff. And the proteins that they use are, you know, what you synthesize meat looking stuff from. And actually, it is a protein. So they color it and they shape it. And when you're hungry, believe me, that'll taste good. It'll fill a place in your tummy. I'm not saying buy a 3D meat printer, but, you know, somebody's getting ready for this kind of stuff, and we're not going to be able to artificially make enough meat to feed 8 billion people, but, you know, there are going to be pockets that do survive, and maybe this will help. And there's going to be a limited supply of the protein material that you feed the 3D printer with. So in the end, you know, look at protein from beans and peas and stuff like that that you can grow in the garden if we have a growing season. And right now, that let me just say
And by the way,
that.
If you're allowed to buy the seeds, because don't forget some of these tyrannical twits out there saying, oh, you can't buy seeds, they're non-essential. But go ahead, I digress. Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. And already this season, I'm seeing strange behavior in our bees. We get plenty of bees. They're coming around our water tray for the birds, you know, the bird water dish. And they lie in it, and they're sitting there drinking water all the time. But do we see them even going up to our honey, you know, to our feeder for the hummingbirds? There are not many of the bees going there. They're just drinking water. Do I see them on our plants? Not many. Maybe one or two bees on a tree, like a peach or a plum or whatever. So, and we had, like, in our garden, we had one, two, three, four. We had four squash plants bloom, beautiful big yellow blossoms. Were there any bees there to fertilize it? No. One got fertilized somehow. And so we've got one squash plant so far from all the flowers that came up. So, you know, I'm going to be out there with my little cotton swab moving, you know, pollinating the flowers of the various plants that we need to grow these vegetables. So the bees aren't doing their job. Why aren't they doing their job? Well, the other day, Holly and I went out, and she says, boy, isn't it bright out here today? What, you know, it's hurting my eyes. Ultraviolet. The UV official point showed us that we were in the alert section of like a value 10, I think it was, for UV over Colorado. And I think it's going to get worse. It can go up to 14 or 15 on the count. But this ultraviolet light, it has a number of like a range of frequencies in it. And there's something, one of the frequencies that's come up here in the last few years, last probably 2 or 3 years, is confusing the bees. The bees use a frequency range in the ultraviolet to look at the plants and see where they need to go to, you know, pollinate the flower. And they're being confused by what they're seeing. I don't know if this is why they're all gathering around the water tray. It's just like some of them are even drowning themselves in it. You know, they're like a mass of them coming, and we have to scoop them out, the dead ones, in the morning. So something is wrong with the sun, and we need the sun to do these gardens, even if you've got the seeds and the plants to do it. You know, we have to figure out ways to get around the problem there with the bees. So you virtually have to be, you know, the pollinator yourself, moving the dust, you know, from the center of the plant, or the flower, over to the edge or down below where you pollinate the plant so you can have fruit from it. So there are things really going wrong everywhere.
So, Stan, let me ask you, the bee behavior, of the bees, could it be, could a contributing factor from this be, for example, or one of the issues of 5G? Just asking.
I don't know how to answer that. I just don't have enough data. Certainly 5G is a frequency going out there. I don't have the data to answer intelligently.
But the sun, though, that's data. You've got that. So yeah, you're looking at the sun as well. And other factors for this bee behavior. Very interesting. And I could see you out there. You've said that before, and I'm picturing you out there pollinating yourself or pollinating.
Yes. Holly has fun with that every now and then, talking to some of her friends. He's out pollinating the vegetables. Yeah, right. Okay.
All right.
Now, while we're on bees, let's go to slide 51 about hornets. Ooh. They're called the murder hornets, and they've arrived here in the United States up in Washington State. So far, they're trying to stop them from spreading, but these things are about 2 inches long. If you click on the picture or go to the website and the text below, you'll see what they look like. They're kind of orange-faced, and about 2 inches long, and these are fatal. You know, they're called the giant Asian hornet. They're the largest wasps in the world, and, you know, they are kind of – like reducing the bee population as well. Here, I'm just trying to look at that. While we were down in Australia, we had a poisonous murder bee. We had a hive of them attached to our the mound of dirt we had over there covering our food store, which was a, you know, about a 20,000 gallon tank or so. But anyway, we had to have those removed with, you know, people that do, you know, bug people to come out and poison them because they were just hugely dangerous to humans. And now then we've got this wasp, which it's big and nasty. And I hope that they're able to get rid of it there in Washington State and keep it from getting here. They are trying to treat it now, but their venom is toxic. I'm just trying to see here somewhere in the article here, there was a thing that told how long, like their stinger was like maybe go through clothing about a half inch long. It was huge stinger. Probably not one of the major things in the article, but
45 caliber. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, no more fly swatters, I guess 45. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't like bees to begin with. Is this another African, Africanized bees, thing where,
that's what I was talking about down in Australia, but this is different. This is from Asia. I don't know which country claims it, but it's more in the India, you know, southern right. China region, that kind of a thing. And when look at this, you got bee problems, wasp problems, the sun problems. We can look at that in a minute, but drought. I mean, drought in the United States is serious.
How do they get here?
Sorry?
Yeah, Eric, the tech wants to know. How would they hitch a ride on a freighter or what?
That's the only way I can think, unless somebody purposely puts them in there on our West Coast. Strange. Why did it hit Washington? Where did the first virus, you know, the Chinese Wuhan virus, where did it come out? Washington State. Gosh, let me connect the dots there.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, something to think about.
Yeah. There are so many things hitting us at the moment. It's unbelievable. We are at war on so many fronts with nature, you know, and with people using nature and biowarfare to clobber us. People living in cities are going to have a problem. Like when our water shortage gets there, already there are places that are rationing water in the United States. You know, you can only water so many days a week and that kind of stuff. Where we are, we're not on it yet here in Colorado and in the southern part of it here in Pueblo area, because our water comes from snowmelt up in the mountains, you know, and we're even selling water up to Colorado Springs because they're short of water. So for us, you know, at the moment, it's kind of not a big deal, but we're still not getting enough rain, you know, to water our crops. We're having to pull on the water supply just to water our crops. Not enough snow, not enough rain. I mean, to us, the word rain is like, oh, I've heard of that. What's it like? We're really not seeing that here. And so we're fighting the elements here in the high desert just to get crops to grow and trees to survive, that kind of stuff. Other places in the country are going to be much worse off. Again, as I said, people living in cities and apartment complexes, they're at the mercy of whoever supplies them water and food and electricity. We're already seeing a migration away from the major cities out to, you know, I mean, places like where we are. Our house price is going up astronomically because people in the eastern cities and western cities, you know, large cities, are looking for homes away from, you know, crowding where they can have their own gardens and some dirt around them. Anyway, I'm on my soapbox.
Well, again. I'm glad you are, because it's the collectivist dream to stack and pack everyone in places like, you know, New York City, for example. And now this is having the opposite effect. Smart people who listen to you and I and programs like this, no, we're not going to be stacked. In fact, you know, we're not going to be set in a position where they will have control over our food and water. And we're going to go out and find a place like where you're, you know, around where you're at, or someplace in the urban areas. And that's how we can fight this as well, if they have the means, or people have the means to do so. And but then you're at the mercy of the elements, like you said, with the sun and the flooding or droughts. Yeah. So we, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now on our slide 49, let's get to this about the sun and its quiet magnetic field. You know, the magnetic fields of stars and of planets that do have magnetic fields are a result of a hot core, really hot on the suns and stars, but, you know, relatively hot in planets. There has to be a spin in that molten core. And the spin inside of our sun is slower, you know, than a lot of other stars. It's, you know, we're way down the totem pole as far as a very active magnetic field from the sun. But even as weak as it is tied to our magnetic field here on the planet. And the solar wind, is a part of that as well, putting charged particles into our magnetic field and shielding us, in essence, against, deep space cosmic rays, which are like, you know, the universe's bullets. They're terribly powerful and can do a lot of damage. But when the sun is putting out its solar wind and it's, you know, its coronal mass ejections, it's generating a shield, believe it or not, around the Earth. So we're very concerned with our star to be sure that its magnetic field continues and spins and everything is as it was before. I'm just trying to see here in this article if I can find it here. 2012. Yeah, all right. Well, you can read the article yourself. There's a lot of details about the solar cycles, you know, every 11.25 years or so on average. But I am concerned about our star and its magnetic field, because as weak as it was at the time of this report that I linked to, the sunspots from cycle 24, our last one, and cycle 25, which is just beginning, are both there together. And at the same time, you have sunspots with a magnetic field, say, this way in the northern hemisphere or equator region of the sun. And then you have sunspots from current solar sunspot cycle facing, and you have opposing magnetic fields between these sunspots because of the transition between the two cycles. Now, that happens. That happens virtually every cycle. But this time, I'm concerned about the slowness of the north magnetic field of the sun flipping and reversing to become a south pole, you know, as it should do every 11, you know, every solar cycle, sunspot cycle. It's been lagging, and I can't tell you exactly where it is now because that report stopped on March the 13th from the Solar Dynamic Observatory from NASA, and I don't know why they haven't been updating it, but it was showing the asymmetric tilt to the sun's magnetic field in the northern hemisphere. So all I can say to people is keep checking at SDO, the Solar Dynamic Observatory from NASA, the images they have daily. And as we find things, you know, from week to week, I will report them here. It is a concern to me. We've got that. We've got, you know, ultraviolet radiation coming from it in new spectra since 1992. Again, these are things that the government really doesn't like to broadcast. And when I was told about it in 1996, I think it was still classified to not let people know that these frequencies were you know, emitting from the sun, new frequencies that weren't predicted by our current model for how our star works. Anyway, that's
that one. All right.
And a slide. Sorry, go on.
No,
sorry.
Thank you. No, I just appreciate you watching the sun the way you do. A lot of great information. Folks, go to standeo.com, and you can find the show images, which we're referring to. On the upper right, there's a link to that, the show images page, and follow along with us or in the archive. Again, standeo.com. While you're there, by the way, pick up an EMP shield. EMPshield.com/Hagman is the ultimate place to go. It's linked off of standeo.com. That's EMPshield/Hagman.com or EMPshield.com/Hagman. There it is on your screen, and use Hagman as a promo code too for money off on that. It's an investment, very, very, very good investment. I'm telling you from experience and from testimonials. So, all right, Stan. Sorry. Want to get that in there.
That's all right. Yeah, that's fair enough. You gotta pay for the show somehow. So this people have to do this, and they save money at the same time by helping you. So, all right. You know how we say swish. NASA says, oh, that meteoroid or asteroid just missed us. They did it again. Slide 47. You can click on the picture. You can click on the arc.
Yeah. I saw that. And
that's close.
Yeah. Surprise. Asteroid zips very close to Earth, grazing path of satellites in geosynchronous orbit. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, those are communication satellites out, you know, about 25,000 miles out on average orbit, you know, and this darn thing came right in the middle of all that. It could have hit some of that and damaged the constellations of our commsats at the time. And I don't blame NASA for, you know, saying, oh, gosh, we didn't see this one, because it is very difficult to see some of these smaller ones, even the larger ones, that don't reflect light and that aren't hot. So you can't see them on infrared. And so, you know, basically you have a very small window on some of these things. It's like NASA would be monitoring an approaching object like that and might find it in, you know, a day before it comes into play with us, and it'd be kind of like, oh, by the way, people, we've got an asteroid. Boy, that was close, you know. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's...
It reminds me.
I don't want to lose my satellite TV, Stan. I don't want to lose, you know, the reruns of Green Acres. Of course, you know, the communication satellite, or the satellites do more than that. So, yeah, it would be horrible. Wow. Hmm.
Yeah. I forget, it was one of Steven Spielberg's, his first movie on, Close Encounters, I think it was, Close Encounters. And in there they have a scene in the opening of the movie there somewhere where the camera's in the flight control room there at some airport. And they're all gathering around looking at this commercial airliner flying along like this, and it's got this other little dot coming right head on to it, and the pilot is saying, it's on a head on collision course with us. What do we do? Can we change altitude? Oh, wow, that was close. And I feel like that's when we get these asteroid meteor reports. Wow, that was close.
Maybe it's good that we don't see these things in advance in some cases. I don't know. All right.
Now, getting back to the war situation up at slide 56, Representative Gates, I think it's called, is complaining there. He's on the Tucker show there. He's talking about, you know, these drones that are being used. They're made by China, and these drones are being assigned to fly. I'm sure you've already talked about this, but to fly over cities and monitor certain people who shouldn't be closer than someone else. And these drones, you know, are low enough that they can take images of people's faces. And if you put it through, you know, photo recognition, then you can say, okay, this is who that was and on this date they were there. But the Chinese, like particularly DJI, make these drones and sell them to us and sell them to these states that are using them to monitor their people, right?
There you go.
Okay.
I cited this article. I didn't mean to overtalk you, but they've got drones up there to make sure, using your cell phones, by the way, make sure you're more than 6 feet away. They take your temperature. All right. I don't know. I guess it, thank God it's not taking, you know, the old fashioned way. But there it is. All right. Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah.
Are
the Chinese able to download this data from their drones, from some people here on the ground that are working for them to gather data about certain people, where they live, where they went? I don't know. But I just find it stupid, really stupid. It's like we're letting the Chinese make all of our medicines for us, which puts us at a real disadvantage when we go to war. And it's also stupid to let them come in with their drones, selling it to government agencies or whatever for surveillance. And how do we know that they're not pulling data from those very drones? Or how do we know they can't just collapse them all when they want to, you know, with a kill switch? It's just dumb.
That's right. You know, the infiltration of the communist Chinese throughout our government is just incredible. I did not realize. I mean, you talk about, I mean, obviously Pelosi, Feinstein and other people. I get that. But even at the technological and university level, you're right. 85% of our pharmaceuticals made by China. What the hell? Really? We've got to go over there. And thank you, Kissinger. Thank you, Nixon. And thank you, Clinton, especially Clinton for, you know, giving them some technology. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Oh, Clinton. Look, yeah, and in the Clinton era, they had Chinese actually sitting on a desk in the patent office, because I talked to one of the patent officers when I was filing my patent in 2005 for the energy converter thing. He told me, he said, these guys from China sit here, and Clinton gave them the authority to let them sit there, and as soon as a patent is unsealed and open to the public, bang. They decided, we like this one, send it home, we'll make a better, cheaper version of it and have it on the West Coast of the United States within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks of it even being unsealed. Now, that's just the unsealed ones. Then the ones that, like mine that were a patent application that the patent office says, oh, no, look, this can't possibly work, so we're not going to even entertain getting a patent for it. You have to go back and work your circuit over again. However, we'll post it on our applications file and we'll make it public, which they shouldn't do by law. But all this was so that our technology could be drained off by China and then changed slightly to get it on patent laws and make a, you know, a better, quicker, cheaper version and put it on the West Coast and collapse us before we could even make it ourselves here in this country. Yeah. So it's, thank you, Clinton. Just an amazing thing.
And see, it's personal to you. I mean, just telling me that, I'd be, you know, look, I'm already boycotting myself in the Chinese restaurants. I know. But, you know, their fortune. Let me at the fortune cookies. I'll tell you. I'll give them some messages. Anyway, but it's personal to you because of just what you described. I mean, it's insanity to let this happen. That's just my view. Again, I'm fired up today.
Look, I was going to file another patent, which I've still got here on my desk, on a propulsion system for a flying saucer type craft. And I had a $5 million investor. And I could not guarantee them that the Chinese wouldn't steal it. You know, so there's no protection for the intellectual property. So who's going to put $5 million into something that, you know, the Chinese could steal? So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was personal. It is personal.
And you know what? I'm beginning to think that Americans need to have it personal in order to, you know, to do something, to stand up and say, no, this is, this, you know, whoever thought of this, it was a stupid idea. Yeah. All right.
If you're a globalist, you understand what they're doing. The United States had to, and still has to a degree, be taken down, destroyed, defeated. And that's why the left wing here are so adamant about they can do anything they can to disrupt this country. They are our enemy. And you know, the Democrats, you know, not all of them are that way, but the majority of the House, you know, under Pelosi, they are socialist communist agents, whether they know it or not. They are killing us. And they want that to happen because they want a new world order where the United States is not in control. And, okay, fine. You know, I'd rather we were an island rather than deal with all these other people in the world that are wanting this one world government. But it's not going to happen that way. They're going to take us down. And that's why the Gog-Magog conflict is foremost on my mind at the moment. They are now driving us to a point where we're going to be attacked. And there will be some people in the world that will say, well, China was justified in doing this, or Russia was justified in doing this. But whatever your point of view, it's still going to take down the leading producer-consumer country in the world, you know, and it's about to happen. It really is. It's about to happen.
I'm right there with you. And I really pray that, and I mean this, Stan, I hope people can see this. I hope people can see, they take their blinders off, they can see what the bigger picture is here, whether it's control by these tyrannical twits here, you know, here in the United States, whether they're bought off by the Chinese or they've got, you know, I just hope people can see the bigger picture. I really do. And people like you that pay the price, like us that pay the price. And when I say pay the price, you know, something as simple, Stan, by the way, our coffee bags are in. Coffee is shipping out in the bags. And that's, you know, that's another thing too. We went full bore. We're not going to buy our bags from China. You're not going to print them in China. No. We're buying here in America. Man, you'd think that I asked for, I don't know, I asked for world peace or something.
All right. I know. It's frustrating and it's not going to get better for some time, for if ever.
Yeah.
Now, okay, a couple of other things. Along the idea of water shortages, on slide 48, they've invented a little electronic module that you drop into water and put it in sunlight, and it takes the water and splits it into hydrogen and oxygen so you can have a hydrogen-oxygen fuel, another effort to you know, help us have energy from you know, natural resources. I don't know, you know, how long these chips work or if they degrade or whatever, but it is another advance in technology, which probably the Chinese have already stolen. But anyway, you know, it encourages me to see that we are doing these things and using, you know, the materials like we are, like the titanium dioxide that they use in this, one of the layers of this. So be encouraged that there are other ways to skin the cat, as it were, with energy here. On a side note, kind of, ho-hum. In slide 43, these astronauts that are in the Dragon spacecraft, if you look at the picture there, they are using either LCD or some kind of interactive screens to steer their spacecraft, right? Now, that gets away from where you used to have a joystick and the pilot could feel it and turn the left or the right, up or down and whatever. Now he touches a screen to steer the craft, and that's just got to kind of warp their mind a bit, because you touch and you got to figure out how to touch gently or too many times or too less times or whatever to get the effect on the spacecraft. I guess they're getting used to it, but things are changing. In the old days, we had ways to bypass all the electronics in the aircraft and go to manual control, before things were huge aircraft, where you just couldn't actually run the hydraulics yourself. But, here we go. We're now getting more and more dependent on electronics to steer these things. And I don't like that, really. I like to have a hands-on thing. In fact, I even think that the flying saucers that they have captured, or have crashed from aliens, and they have happened, where they had insets for the hands to go into the arm piece. Their handprint was there, and they moved their fingers and their hands on those things to control the craft. They were still interacting that way, probably still by fly-by-wire, by optical fiber cables connected to that and stuff, but there was this tactile interface between the pilot and the craft. Anyway, that's just me. I would like to fly my craft that way. I'd like to feel it,
Yeah, and speaking of feel it, I still remember when the power steering was an option for cars, So,
right.
I kind of like the I'm glad for power steering, because – yeah, you take a big van it was something. But yeah, I like to feel it too. And I don't know if I'm not on board with the stylus and touching the screen stuff for control of any kind of craft, in my view. But that's just me. Yeah, I'm not an astronaut, thank God.
Well, that's the way our minds are wired. I mean, if you get on a bicycle, or, if you're got a set of wings on you like a bird, you still like to be able to feel an interface like left arm, right arm, that kind of stuff, not point and touch. And it's just counterintuitive to the way our minds are wired. Anyway, that's enough on that. Slide 44. Hubble has been looking at galaxies, and this really, really just got my attention. If you click on the text, it's one thing. If you click on the picture on slide 44, click on the picture, you'll see that I've shown a little tiny square in the upper left-hand part of it. It's called the XDF. It's the field definition for that Hubble, and it's the area of the universe that we were looking at through the Hubble telescope. It represents 1/32 millionth of the visible sky from Earth. 1/32 millionth. And in that, on the right-hand side, top right, you see how it tells you the age of various galaxies we're looking at in this shot. This tiny little window in the universe goes out more than 9 billion years on their clock, standard clock. But if you look down at the lower right of all the pictures of galaxies there, there are 5,500 galaxies here in this shot, in that tiny little XDF window. Multiply that by 32 million times, and that's how many galaxies we see. And each galaxy has over 100,000 million stars on average. This is a big place.
I'm looking at this and, wow.
Small do you feel this? I was watching some documentary on the Earth, one of the science programs here over the weekend, showing a number of things that are of interest, like, how you can have solitary planets that aren't connected to any star shooting through the universe like a bullet, having bounced off of a black hole, or this mysterious thing about what's in empty space between everything. We used to be, you know, we were taught in school, you and I, I'm sure, that space is a vacuum. There's nothing there. And then you have a planet here and a star there and a galaxy, but there's nothing in between. Well, now they've said, oh, wait, we're missing about 30% of the mass of the universe because we can see the effect of this mass gravitationally on stars and galaxies. But there's something out there in empty space. It's a fluid of some sort or gas or something, what you might call the fine structure. And it is moving to where we've been telling, you know, scientific community, a number of us for years, that galaxies and planets, you know, they and stars, they form by spin in a fluid. You don't have gravity without spin. That's just the way it is. Spin around an atom, spin around a planet, spin around a sun. And that's why planets have a specific distance that they orbit their star from. People just don't seem to ask, well, why do planets stick in that orbit? You know, and why don't they just fall into the sun? And, you know, well, it's because they spin, right? Okay. Why are there specific orbits that they're locked into? You know, we know this from, you know, the mathematics of watching these things and in our star system as well. It's because the spin of the fluid of space has captured smaller masses to form the sun in the center or the star. And then the spin of the fluid of space pushes out like that into empty space. It would appear, but it's really pushing against itself like water. And it reflects back because the spin is so energetic. And that series of waves coming out from a star and those coming back from the reflection of space form this orbit right here. They lock a planet in that orbit and further out another planet of a certain mass in its orbit. Anyway, that's this photo just, you know, it cemented these things in my mind so much that you look at all these galaxies, they've got spin. They all spin. They don't exist without spin. Even a globular cluster has spin. You know, a galaxy with its globular cluster of stars. Anyway.
Wow, that's deep. Deep.
deep so, space,
so,
yeah.
Okay, so what's at the end of the universe? When that
a portal to the parallel universe that we're in. I look at existence of our universe is here,
right,
and another universe or universes concentric to it out here. Now it gets a bit involved when you start looking at is it concentric by atoms? Is it concentric by galaxies? Personally, I think that it's by like the nuclear level that things exist in shells around shells at a nuclear level or in subnuclear level so that you can transition from our universe into, say, an upper one or a lower one, right in the same room just by changing frequency and you're in one or the other universe, you know, the matter frequency. Anyway, that's,
you know, I first of all, I wasn't expecting you to answer that question. Second of all, I learned something just now. And you know, thirdly, when you think about it, it seems to, the biblical aspect of our creation, and I know that's outside of this conversation, but to me, when you talk about heaven, earth, and everything in between, the portals and the different parallels, dimensions and such, that's what this is. And in a sense, I don't know, maybe I just went off on a tangent there, but
you know, I really can't take claim for making that model. Actually, years ago, 1970-ish, I think it was, I was fortunate to meet a man who had been one of Dr. Einstein's students in the university where he taught, you know, relativity and things like that. And there were a lot of things that they discussed, possibilities they discussed in the class. And Dr. Einstein did say, look at gravity and parallel universes like this. Here is an atom, and that atom is where a wave of space, you know, has come together and bounced back, and it forms a neutral shell, which is that atom. And it shares a space here with other atoms of parallel universes in that when this atom is down, you collapse like this, the other atoms in the parallel universe are out here at various levels, and they're coming down to the same center of where that mass is, that atom, but they don't conflict with the atoms in our universe, they don't cross because they're at a spaced interval and they pass through each other as they expand and contract. Now, that was what Dr. Einstein put forward. And I thought, wow, what an incredible thing. That's what I've shared with you here today. And I think
yeah.
as universes age and die, the gateway, the difference between this shell occupying here and this one here occupying it gets closer and closer, so that what you call the veil between the atoms of these universes starts to thin. And I think that's why we're going to see, you know, more of the demonic beings as we get closer to the tribulation period and in it, because the veil between our universe and their universe is thinning. And we'll be able to see, you know, ghostly type shapes, if not even some of the more solid forms coming across the gateway from the lower levels. Now, in the Revelation of John, in the last chapters, you're looking at the earth and the universe as we know it being destroyed in a great fire, you know, a fiery heat as it's destroyed at the end of the millennial age. And that is then replaced by a new earth and a new heavens, you know, to some pattern, because the old one has been consumed and it becomes part of the new universe that will be in existence replacing us at this level. But God's level is above that. And it's a really interesting and lengthy discussion about that. We've had it once before where I talked about the lower density, higher energy levels of the universes surrounding us. And I don't know how many universes there are. You know, at this point, it's kind of academic. We're more concerned with our universe and what's going on here. Yeah. And, you know, what yeah. comes next, well, we'll leave that to the good Lord to show us.
Yeah, it's just so interesting, and I thank you for the breadth of your knowledge. I'm not, you know, blowing smoke up your skirt, but I think that's really, I mean, seriously, who can have discussions like this? Certainly, you're not going to find discussions like this on Fox or on MSNBC, thank you for all your research and hard work and making it understandable for, you know, people like me. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I do enjoy teaching. That's when I was at university teaching down in Australia. I really had a good time with my students because we would interact on these kind of things and sometimes get a bit off of computer graphics and computer generated imagery and stuff and get onto things like, well, Professor Deo, you are really like an Indiana Jones. You went over to the Middle East and did blah, blah, blah. And so, of course, that day the course would kind of drift over to nonsense. So. But, yeah, it was fun. I did love interacting with my students. And as I've said before, actually, in Australia, my best students, my brightest students were Chinese from wealthy Chinese families who sent their children down there to get an education. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Anyway, that's another thing. Slide 46, the article, it's a video, actually, you have to watch, about the ice melt in Antarctica and in Greenland. So you got both areas of the planet and the ice is melting. And it says, our warming world is causing Antarctica and Greenland to shed ice insanely fast. And that's bad news for all of us. Here's why. And you can watch the video to get the here's why of it, because the number of things, sea level is going to rise and we're going to lose coastal areas that are already, you know, occupied by people and buildings over a period of 10, 20, 30 years. And this is going to, you know, restructure political boundaries and all kinds of stuff. So the Antarctic, the major melting is occurring because of volcanoes underneath the ice pack now becoming active and warming it up. And I don't know about Greenland. Why is it warming? I've discussed this before about how the surface of the Earth is like many other planets and stars, that the wave that generates gravity comes out through the poles and then back at the equator, and it recirculates in like a torus. And periodically, I do believe that field opens up a wee bit at the north and south pole so that the heat escapes from the inside of the planet up into these areas of ice and melts them. There you go. You've got it there.
Yep.
It's just huge, huge changes in our environment at the moment as we age. The planet, you know, as our star ages, as we age, and our star is aging, its magnetic field is still much stronger than ours. But even at that rate, it's interacting with our magnetic field, which is failing rather quickly. So we are, we're losing our shield to a degree from cosmic radiation because the sun was providing that. And we're also, our magnetic field is going to go through a zero point. It's going to flip over a period of, you know, days, months, weeks, whatever. This is already starting. We're seeing our North Pole deviate a great deal faster than the South Pole. Wow. Anyway, that's an old argument. So.
Very interesting. Start talking about gigatons of ice and water. Wow, that's amazing. All right.
And on slide 52, Netanyahu is being hounded by the court, the Supreme Court of Israel, because of the way he wants to form a coalition government with Gantz. You know, they share the prime ministership, you know, a year and a half, that kind of thing. Right now, you know, Netanyahu is saying, look, don't bug me with this. If you do, I'm going to call another election, a fourth election this year for Israel. That's mind-boggling. But they're in strife there because of their political things. The left, you know, the Gantz things, which are favoring the Arabs and the Muslims and stuff, they're wanting to take over the government. And it's just not the done thing in the current environment because war is about to erupt. You know, Iran might even join Russia and China in its attack on the United States. In fact, if you listen to the Hopi prophecies that were told to us by the Hopi when we were down there, that's what's going to happen. A Middle East country and China and Russia will take us down and actually occupy, our coastal areas and inland a bit before they turn around and leave. Mm-hmm. Now, slide 54, there's a thing there showing the Trump's Israeli-Palestinian peace plan is dead on arrival, they think. Okay, Trump's, got an election coming up. Netanyahu's, kind of hanging by a thread, holding power there. These two need to agree. Saudi Arabia needs to agree, Iraq, there's a number of the 34 Arab states that are involved in the coalition. They all need to agree to this peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians and the neighboring Arab countries. And at the moment, things are so precariously balanced that this peace process may not start until after we've been destroyed. You know, America's been taken out of the equation. It will still be one that requires, Israel to use a nuke, I think, on Iran or something. One of the neighboring countries, I think Iran will be the one that hit their people in Syria. And they've already started doing that. In slide 53, I show how the recent strike by Israel Air Forces in the southern part of Syria, near the Golan Heights, have been striking Iranian forces, Hezbollah as well, but Iranian forces in Syria right on their doorstep. I mean, you could roll a tank down the hill or a car, just down the Golan Heights and you're into Israel. And so Israel is defensively, destroying these Iranian forces. We're about to see the war erupt. There's just no question about it. I mean, bombs and missiles are being exchanged already over there. So our time's coming.
And we certainly want to thank Obama and Hillary Clinton State Department for the Arab Spring and realignment of power in the Middle East. We appreciate that to game the system and shorten the time clock. Yeah. Nice.
Well, slide 50, now that you mentioned Obama, Michelle Obama is being floated as a possible vice presidential pick. We'll segue to that. I mean, how bad could it get? Well, let me think. she keeps saying she don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Michael, the guy. Yeah, I know. I keep wondering, looking for signs, Adam's apple or something, but who knows?
No, I don't know. Joan Rivers,
Hey, listen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
Just Joan Rivers. God bless her. But anyway, go ahead.
Can a former president, after two terms, can he be a vice president to a president running, win the election? The president then dies or is replaced by the vice president and have a third term. Is that possible?
I saw that question broached on numerous forums, and the key is the word elected, okay, as opposed to appointed as VP, and then assuming position by way of succession. That's the key. There's largely a large constitutional disagreement about that. Don't know.
Well, of course, Obama being a constitutional lawyer, I'm sure he's considered the options there.
Yep.
Rather interesting.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Stan, I'll tell you what, I encroached on your time, but we're at the end of the program already. I can't believe that. You've done such a great, a lot of information in this hour. I appreciate that. I really do. We're at the end of the program.
Good to be here. I hope we get to see you next week, both of us being healthy.
Amen, brother. Thank you, and my best to
Lord
Holly.
We'll
and your fur babies. All right. That was Stan Dale from standale.com. Folks, support Stan Dale on Patreon as well as empshield.com/Hagman, empshield.com/Hagman. Don't forget, hagmanstore.com, hagmanstore.com, hagmanstore.com for coffee. See you tomorrow.